Warning, the Chit Show podcast may contain explicit or vulgar material that might not be suitable for work, people with thin skin, or those under the age of 18. You have been warned. Thank you for listening, and welcome to the Chit Show.
Okay, we're going to do the damn thing. We're going to start things off differently here. Where is he? Oh, here we go. Okay, let's try this again. We're going to try this again. You better fucking pick up. Aww. Some Patreon supporter he is.
Wow.
Fucking dick.
Wow.
But we have
a... don't even want your money.
Yeah. but we have a new Patreon supporter, so let me call him and he might answer. I'm out at dinner with a friend. Fuck you, Jason Kessler. Ooh. Oh, please. Oh, please. I'm going to leave a fucking message.
Yes.
Actually, he's probably asleep because he probably has to work early in the morning. Now I just feel like an awesome asshole.
Your call has been forwarded to an automated voice messaging system. Is not available.
He doesn't even have his name
in there? At the tone, please record your message. When you've finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options. To leave a callback number, press 5.
I'm going to do that. Whoever wants to do that? Yes, Casey Miller. This is Leo Cardona of the Chit Show podcast here with Danny Cardona, the co-host. Say what's up, Danny.
Yep. How's it going?
Just wanted to tell you, buddy, we love you. Thank you very much for donating $5 a month and becoming a new Patreon supporter here with the Chit Show podcast. You are the man. We appreciate you. Hope you're feeling better. We'll catch you on the next episode. And take care.
Thank you, Casey.
Hey! Well, there's that. I guess we should get started.
Do the damn thing.
Hey! Okay, good. We back in motherfucking business, ladies and gentlemen! I'm on cloud nine. Victoria Monet dropped a new album, bitches.
Sexiest album of the year.
Definitely. Hey. Oh, I'm definitely gonna let this shit play. I'm playing two songs. Fucking feeling it. If you feeling sexy out there, goddammit, you should be listening to this fucking album. You're saying everything I like. Ooh, tell it to him, Victoria. Watch your lips move all night. Oh yeah? Making me think you might have the type of brain I like. Ooh. Promise I'ma make it rain for you. Something like an ocean wave on you. Hey. If you let me open up to you, kiss below the line. Woo. I wanna see what your head game like. Do you know what you're doing? Is your for all you freaky bitches out there. Do you know how to use it? Have and you freaky dudes, actually. Talk back, baby, we can. If you didn't notice yet, this song is about cunnilingus. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, welcome to the Chit Show podcast. This is episode 41 with your boy, Leo.
Whack.
Aww.
Whack.
Why did I do that?
I don't know. Reflex, I guess.
I guess I don't like myself. But guys, welcome to the fucking Chit Show.
What's up, fuckers? You know the fucking vibes.
Of course, it is your boy Leo, the man, the myth, the legend, DJ Brute, aka Leo, aka the obnoxious motherfucker you're listening to on your airwaves. Of course, I am joined by my co-host, my best friend, my brother. Everybody fucking loves him, because why the fuck not? Danny!
Hello. Hi, everybody. Hope everyone's doing well.
Mr. Danko.
Another lovely Monday.
How are you feeling, my brethren?
Good, man. It's been a busy week. It's been crazy, but I mean, nothing bad to report, which is always nice.
Okay.
Yeah, still working, still doing the thing. And yeah, you know, same old, honestly.
Good shit, good shit. Everything going well? Alicia doing fine?
Oh, she's doing great. She actually went to go get us some food since I haven't eaten today.
Okay.
But yeah, she's great. We're great. We're doing great. Living the life, you know? So,
good shit. Yeah.
Playing Animal Crossing together.
Oh, that's fucking adorable. Let me give an applause for that.
Whack.
Whack. How about you, though? How about you? What's going on?
I'm doing all right. Finally worked a full week, ladies and gentlemen. A full week.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you. I'd just like to thank the Academy and myself for always being a hustler. And
yeah, man.
Yeah, it was
kaboomed your life, you know? Kaboom.
It was great. I just Monday through yesterday worked 6 days straight. Finally, it's a nice solid week. Really looking forward to these paychecks. Making connections, putting in work, doing the damn thing. It was good. Slept damn near all day today. And I'm feeling great. Back at it tomorrow, 7 a.m. I'll be in Wrightwood, so being up at 4:30 a.m.
Ooh, and the grind.
Yeah, that's just been what I've been doing. Like between 4 and 6 a.m. is when I've been getting up for work. But I'm happy to do it. Shouts out to the homies for hiring me. Shouts out to my buddy Carlos over at 2020 Fire Prevention. Also the homies at Gallagher. And then the homie Brad.
I have something to show you real quick.
You have to
this
show
is
me
like
something.
A little tidbit, kind of like what's been going on. But here, let me put my screen on. You can describe to the people what you see, of course, if you look at my camera. Can you see me?
Okay. Oh, there you are. Hey, what's up?
There I am. All right. So I got this BAM box.
Ooh.
Which is it's the BAM box for gaming. And it comes with a bunch of trinkets, you know. It comes with some art prints.
Okay.
But I got this Legend of Zelda kind of shield replica.
Ooh, yes. That's a key
really nice
right
model.
There.
But the best one, the crowning jewel of the entire box, even though it doesn't even, you know, it's not like the big thing, is this.
Yo, it's Mike Tyson from Mike Tyson's Punch Out.
Yeah, it's a Mike Tyson's Punch Out pin. It's really cool. And it's like 8-bit and stuff. It's really nice. So.
It's awesome. Fuck yeah. Boom box?
BAM box.
It's a BAM box.
Yeah, BAM gaming box.
Yeah, shouts out to BAM Box. That's pretty dope. And shouts out to Mike Tyson. I'm so stoked to see this motherfucker get back in the ring. And I just love him. But, dude, that's dope. I got a whole bunch of swag in there, huh? Some good stuff?
Yeah, I got two art prints. One is, like, Master Chief and Nathan Drake or something. And then the other one is actually God of War art print. They're signed by the artists.
Okay.
Which is, like, the whole appeal of the BAM Box is you get signed stuff. And then I got, what is his name? Crazy Bandicoot or whatever.
Crash Bandicoot.
Not Crash Bandicoot, but it's like one of his other dudes. It's like Tiny Tiger or something.
Oh, okay.
It's actually signed by the dude who voices Crash Bandicoot, Bob O'Brien, or Brian, I don't remember his name. This goes into my other story. But yeah, it came with a signed Funko Pop of the voice actor of Crash Bandicoot, which is pretty cool.
Okay.
I myself am not, I mean, unless it's Nitro Kart, but I'm not really a real big fan of Crash Bandicoot just because of how annoying like it was playing as a kid.
Oh, yeah.
But I got like a signed Funko Pop, some signed art prints, the Mike Tyson pin, this replica Hyrulean shield from Legend of Zelda. It's pretty dope. It's pretty cool.
That's awesome.
I'm definitely going to try and get it again.
Okay.
The reason I bought it is because it was like Punch Out. Oh, I'm down. So, but the pin is awesome. So, yeah.
Do they do monthly? It's monthly.
It's every few months. Yeah, it's monthly, but due to COVID, it's a little slow.
Okay.
And that has to go with my I also have Japan Crate, and that one's super long because it's coming from Osaka. Yeah. So, but Japan, I've been getting Japan Crate as well, which is a bunch of Japanese snacks, which is pretty great.
Fuck yeah.
But yeah, it's check it out, BAMBOX, if you like gaming. They also have like a horror box, just a movie box, pop culture. They do a ton. So they have something for everyone.
Fuck yeah, I'm down. Check it out, guys. BAMBOX. I highly recommend. Oh, I remember when I used to talk about boxes on this show.
Oh, yeah. We should do it again. We should just get a box for you and me.
Oh, I'm so down. That's a good idea. Yeah. We'll mark that on the docket. Well, shit, let's get into some shits. I'm so jazzed about the new music that recently came out that I really want to start with that again. And I really enjoyed starting with music last time. So let's get right into the shits. New music, ladies and gentlemen. New music. It was a very, very awesome weekend as far as new music goes, at least for me. I would assume the same for you, Danny, considering that I hit you up for like, hey, send me your picks for the music that you're going to talk about. And you literally sent me nothing but music that I was checking out already.
Oh, yeah.
So it worked out.
It was funny.
Like, I was on the fence about listening to Glass Animals, but I was like, you know what? I have the time. Let me knock this out. And yeah, man, it was great. Dude, let's start. I mean, are those albums that you sent me, is that basically what you plan on talking about?
Yeah, I guess we can just like shoot off of each other since we listen to the same stuff. Like,
sweet,
kind of talk about each one.
Let's start together. Of course, at the top of the fucking show, Victoria motherfucking Monet. Let me give the queen her props. And agreed. I mean, and that's saying a lot because there have been some really sexy albums coming out that have come out, and that are actually longer. Like, I wouldn't even really. But me being me, I'd call it more of an EP. Well, not really. It was like 8 tracks, I think.
Yeah.
Well, 2 interludes, so whatever. But either way, it was a short album, but still very good from top to bottom. Of course, it started with Moment, which is like that got me to love. Like, I fell in love with Victoria Monet after that song. Thank you, Joe Budden, for turning me on to Victoria Monet. And I was just like, you know, checking out her old stuff, checking out some other stuff. She came out with a track with, what is it, Khalid and S.G. Lewis.
That's my favorite.
That came out before this release. I think that was probably what she was doing. She was releasing singles from this new album because Experience is it's Experience. Yeah. That came out not too long ago. They released it and I was like, "Oh fuck, she did a track with SG Lewis cuz I fucking love SG Lewis. SG Lewis is a phenomenal producer. I put his songs in my mixes. Amazing. Fucking amazing. And to see that she not only collabed with him, but Khalid too? Fuck yeah. And it's a fucking dope track. My favorite tracks, of course, are the raunchy, super sexy ones, Touch Me and Dive. Oh my gosh. It was just so good. And I listened to it on my way home at 1 in the morning last night from LA to Lancaster. And those are prime hours to be listening to some sexy R&B. I mean, I was feeling a way.
It's a very sensual kind of like album too. So it's very like kind of just like realize your feelings, you know?
Yes.
It makes you feel a certain type of way, and that's fine. You know, we need more R&B like that anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's definitely one of those albums to make you feel, you know, feel a certain way.
Even had the song, you know, with an R&B album, there tends to be somewhat of a balance of like, I love you, let's ravage each other on one side, and then the like heartbreak or we're having problems side. And there was one track that was the like problem side, Go There With You, which I loved because it was more like a like, you know, I don't want to we shouldn't be fighting, you know, I don't want to go there with you. You know, there's other ways I could raise my voice and look at you or whatever. And I'd rather do that, like stuff like that. It was great. It was nice because I know Victoria Monet just purely for these like sexy time, let's get down songs.
Yeah.
And I loved it. I loved it. Victoria Monet, Jaguar. check it out. Do you have anything else you want to add to this?
Just that she's going toe-to-toe with Teyana Williams.
Teyana Taylor, you mean?
Teyana Taylor, sorry. with her album that came out earlier.
Because that was really good.
Yeah. It's kind of the same vibe, too. It's kind of the same, like, mood that they want to put you in. So those are probably two of the best R&B albums, if not of the... I can't say decade because it's 2020. But,
yeah.
Well, but just to start off the decade, we're doing pretty good.
Yes, I agree. It was phenomenal. I mean, and the ladies have been crushing it. Absolutely crushing it. Between Teyana, Victoria, Kehlani, Snow Allegra, and Summer Walker, like, we are fucking set. We are good. Don't worry. The ladies are taking care of us, R&B heads. We're great. And shouts out to all of them, but especially Victoria Monet. This is great. 9 songs. It's only 25 minutes, guys. There's 2 or 3 interludes. There's 2. Check it out, guys. Jaguar by Victoria Monet. I fucking love it. Ugh. Ugh. Just yas. Amine. Oh, okay. So I don't listen to much of this cat. Literally the only song that I knew by him before this was Reel It In. Because I dropped that shit at part, like, that shit goes. It goes. And for a DJ like me, ooh, I love it. And I checked out this new album. It is called Limbo. Dude, fucking great album.
Yeah.
Great album. And I didn't know what to expect. Like, I was like, man, I hope this doesn't go into a typical, like, more mainstream direction that I don't like. I was very fearful of that. Nah, bro. 14 tracks, 44 minutes. All of it was great. All of it was great. An awesome fucking array of features as well. The production on it is phenomenal. I mean, as far as features, he's got JID and Charlie Wilson on one track. He's got Young Thug on another. Slow Ty and Vince Staples on a track. Summer Walker, that was a dope track. Injury Reserve. Oh my gosh, guys, this freaking album was great. It was great. How did you feel about this?
My production, like, I produced it.
Okay. Hey, he did. The cat's out of the bag, guys. Danny produced all of the Amine album.
But the production was, like, my absolute favorite on this. Because 1.5, which is his album from, like, 2 years ago now, that's the one with Reel It In.
Okay.
Like, it had a lot of, you know, it had a lot of bangers, as the kids call it. They had a lot of, like, hype music. But he kind of, like, Limbo is just... I don't want to put down his past stuff and say it's more articulate, but that's kind of like what it is.
Uh-huh.
It's a lot more mature, and he kind of explains it. He also gave a shout out to Kobe. He, you know, talking about, like, how he was a part of his childhood and how when Kobe passed away, he wanted to grow up, you know, because that's a piece of him. And losing a part of, he kind of explains in this, like, little skit, you know, that's a part of my childhood. And when he left, it was like, well, now I need to figure out, like, how do I become better? You know, how do I buy a house? How do I do this? How do I do this? And so, like, the album kind of mirrors that in the sense that, like, this isn't your hype album, you know? Yeah. This isn't just a hype, like, everyone go crazy, here are the hits. This entire album is just, like, really good track after one another. And the production is just, like, I could not stop, like, you know, nodding my head back and forth. Like, it was just so good.
Yeah, each of them is a banger.
Yeah, Roots with JID and Charlie Wilson. I love that song. It comes right after Kobe, which, you know, is a little emotional, but it's great. It's great. Open up your soul and take your body like what's happening. I'm not a succulent, a sucker, baby girl. These roots made me. I bring my flowers to the world.
This is Roots by Amine, JID, and Charlie Wilson. Like ice, keep my soul inside. Dude's got Charlie Wilson on his shit. Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't know who Charlie Wilson is, Uncle Charlie. Uncle motherfucking Charlie. Yes, that motherfucker from, you guessed it, The Gap Band. Uncle motherfucking Charlie on Amine's album. That's a fucking cheat code. Okay? Anytime Uncle Charlie's on something, it's a fucking hit. Do you remember what was it? Signs. Snoop Dogg and Justin Timberlake. That was Uncle Charlie on that track. And Aminé's got him on a track with JID of all people. Oh my gosh. I love JID. Just the shit. Just absolutely the shit. Oh no, did I lose you?
No, I'm here.
Oh good, thank you. I'm just hoping this fucking internet connection holds up. We don't have issues like last time. The last two times really happened. The last two times, I think.
Yeah, knock on wood.
Oh. Ding ding, my dick.
There you go.
Ha ha. So yeah, great album, guys. Limbo, Aminé, fucking dope. Highly recommend it. Moving on, this was a surprise to me, honestly, because I guess I don't remember Glass Animals as much as I used to. I felt like I had more of like a band vibe before, and this was like a fully just like produced, like no band, just, I don't even know. I guess I don't remember Glass Animals like I used to, but Dreamland, guys, Dreamland came out, like Glass Animals, and I quite enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I did not finish all of it. I got through maybe 3/4 of the way, and then I got jammed up by a whole bunch of other stuff that I needed to finish before this, before we started recording. And it's all Glass Animals, all fucking Glass Animals, except for the one feature by... And I saw it and was like, huh, and listened to it and was like, okay, I'm dope with this. I'm cool with this. It's dope. Cool. Denzel motherfucking Curry.
Yes.
He's been making his rounds.
He has.
He has, and he's been smashing it, just completely crushing it. And I'm not a big Denzel Curry fan. Honestly, I was introduced to Denzel Curry during the XXL freshman class that he was on. He unfortunately was a part of the shitty Cypher that is infamous and legendary because it was complete garbage with fucking Kodak Black and Lil Uzi Vert and all those fucking guys, 21 Savage. It was just bad. It was so bad. And he was actually the best one out of all of them. And he started. And so I was like, okay, I'm with it. Then I listened to some of his music after and was like, okay, I'm not that big of a fan, but I know the dude could spit. And then he starts just collabing with fire people. Of course, Kenny Beats. That whole album with Kenny Beats, dope. He's been featured on some other shit, and he's just been crushing it. And
yeah,
Tokyo Drifting is a track that he's on. Fucking play it. Fuck.
God, it's so good.
I'm gonna play this shit. Bitch, play. Bitch, go. Hey. This is Glass Animals' Tokyo Drifting with Denzel Curry off of Dreamland, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, hey. I truly do not remember this vibe from them at all.
No, it's a completely different mood.
Then again, I think the last time I listened was like 2015. Oh, let's get to Denzel. Where my man Curry at?
My favorite part. Here it comes. Here it comes.
Hey. Get it, Curry.
Oh, you gotta wait for that.
Damn it. How dare you mislead me?
Here it comes. All right, right after this. Here it comes.
You have lost my trust.
Hey. What is everybody talking about when they wanna live fast? Niggas wanna talk about a G, but I spit a G on a 12 teeth in my mouth. Diamonds they call, they can feel like a trout on my wrist or a scout on my wrist with a spot up in it. Everything gotta be 80 and you keep the 20%. You know that I get it, I'm on it, I'm in it. If you try to take it, the cookie next in it, I'm back on my bullshit like Jordan.
Guys, it's so good. That's Tokyo Drifting, Glass Animals, Denzel Curry. Check out Dreamland. Ugh.
It has so many good tracks. And you're right about the whole band thing, you know. It's kind of, Dreamland kind of is like a kind of a record of the lead singer, of like his childhood and like what he went through and stuff like that, you know.
Okay.
But it's really nostalgic. It has a lot of nostalgia to it. It just, you know, just from the titles themselves, just like Space Ghost Coast to Coast. Your Love, Deja Vu, Tokyo Drifting, like, in even the songs, he mentions a ton of like different stuff that if you were a 90s kid or even an 80s kid, like what, you know, what you did as a child. And so it's like really, it's like, what is the word that I'm looking for? It's just really not just nostalgic, but just like childlike.
Okay.
You know? And so, yeah, it is completely different. The production is still there.
Mm-hmm.
I know people are pissed because it's not How to Be a Human Being. Nothing will ever come close to How to Be a Human Being, which is their last album.
Yeah.
But it's still really good. And I loved every single song on it. And I thought it was just fantastic. Even the production on this was great. Like, this was really nice to listen to in the morning.
Yeah.
And Space Ghost, Coast to Coast, my favorite song. Not just because the title is Space Ghost, Coast to Coast, but because it's actually a really good song.
Yeah.
So
some great ones.
Definitely recommend it.
Check it out, guys. Again, took me by surprise, but I ain't mad. I mean, there's quite a few bands or groups that just kind of went in a very, very different direction, whether they went electronically or they're trying to go with what the mainstream, quote unquote, scene is really vibing with, which obviously Glass Animals took that route. The Strokes took that route, the more electronic route with their last album. And even some hardcore. Yeah, I've had some Strokes fans who were just like, you know what? It's really different and it's not what I wanted, but I kind of dig it. It's whatever. So I like it when people step out of the box and, you know, take a chance. And I think Glass Animals kind of, as far, I mean, considering the climate, considering as far as music goes, what's popular, I think they hit this out of the park.
This is the most ideal pop music you want.
Yeah.
Like, this is where you want pop music to be. Like, this is like, this is what the rubric should be, is for pop music, in my opinion, you know?
Yeah, it's great.
So I have something to say.
Here we go.
Real quick.
Shut the fuck up, everybody, and listen.
Shut up, everyone, listen. Okay, I'm on my podium.
Get it.
So we're talking about the freshman, the worst freshman XXL ever in history.
Uh-huh.
Two of those rappers I fuck with now. Obviously, Denzel Curry. He's amazing, and I love his lyrics, and I just love his wordplay, and he is just amazing. He has so many different like moods and switches that he just changes. Other one, 21 Savage, has proven to be someone I enjoy.
Okay.
Especially when he collaborates with Childish Gambino. But because they,
what
just,
a surprise.
They just, yeah, they just seem to be like freaking lightning together, dude. Like, I don't get it. But I loved Monster. And I loved 21 Savage's newest album. So everyone else though can go fuck themselves. I don't listen to those.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my little.
You heard it, Uzi and Kodak Black, you fuckers.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't care if it's your second day out here. I don't care.
Yeah.
You know the fucking vibes.
Yeah, but that's all I had to say.
Fuck yeah. No, I agree with that. It was horrendous. Of course, other equally cringy fucking ciphers in that year. Fucking Designer completely bombed, and we haven't heard from him since. I think there was one song that came out since then, and then everyone was like, nah, B, your 15 minutes is up. I will say, I really did not like Anderson .Paak's cipher. It was terrible, but he's still very talented and makes amazing music. And so that was like a terrible first impression. Let me just say, Anderson, who will never hear this. Yeah, man, terrible first impression, but amazing follow through. I like where you ended up. You and the Free Nationals kill it. Every fucking collab that he's on. There's so many collabs that I have on my playlist on Spotify that I can't deny. Like, okay, dude's got it. Dude's got it. Terrible start, awesome ending. He's going.
Remember
places.
Where he came from, though.
Yeah,
remember, Watsky gave you a platform when no one else did.
Hey, and then of course G Herbo, Dave East, fucking crushed it, and of course the fucking best one out of everybody in that entire year, fucking Lil Dicky, and still killing it. Which I have to say, I'm sorry, everybody. I still have not seen Dave.
Whack.
It's just sitting on the server.
Oh, shit. Okay. Noted. No, did who? Yeah. All right, moving on. Oh no, fuck, moving on. Yeah, guys, all this music that we have checked out, make sure you check it out as well. If you are a Patreon member, make sure that you look out for the playlist that we'll be sharing on our Patreon page. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, every episode I put together a playlist on Spotify so you can check out at most three of our favorite tracks from each artist that we feature and talk about on the show. So if you want that, and not only that, bonus material, some swag. I'm going to get some t-shirts and stickers made eventually, very soon. All types of things. We'll call you like I did our two Patreon members at the beginning of the show. Tried to call them. Of course, they didn't answer because they don't fucking like me. Just kidding. All kinds of stuff. Anything extra, like anything else that we put together, we're also going to take input. Maybe we'll even have you on the show. If you want to be a part of that, it's only $5 a month on Patreon. Check us out on Patreon, patreon.com/chitshowpodcast. $5 a month, you give it to us. We will put that to all that good stuff. Also, keeping the lights on, paying for subscriptions, helping produce the show, and all that. So please, please consider becoming a Patreon member, patreon.com/chitshowpodcast. And thank you to Casey Miller and Jason Kessler. Thanks for supporting the show, fellas. Love you guys. Eventually, I'll get those fuckers on the phone. But yes, yes. Moving on. One other thing as far as music goes that I would love to talk about very briefly, just because I'm kind of sad and disappointed with how things went down. So, the Versus battle happened between Rick Ross and fucking 2 Chainz, and it was boring.
Whack.
I'm sorry. Whack. I don't fuck with them heavy. I'm not a huge fan of them. But I was like, you know what? I love what Versus has been doing. And from what I hear about it, you know, and just the hype behind these guys, I felt like it was still going to be pretty decent. Because in history and Versus history and in the past shows, a lot of us have made statements that we've had to fucking walk the fuck back and apologize for, because Versus always delivered like we thought they wouldn't. And they did on multiple occasions. This was not one of those occasions, in my opinion. I didn't last through the whole thing. I maybe stayed for 10, maybe 15 minutes. They kept having connection issues. Fucking Ross and Chainz were just boring. Boring as shit. Like, at one point, I was like, are these guys going to start actually reciting the lyrics maybe with it? Because that's nice. It should be treated as a performance. It adds to the allure of the Versus battles. They started to, but they were literally just, like, sitting there. On stools. I don't know if they were fucking leaned out or fucked up, but they were boring. It was boring. And by the third or fourth literally in that 10 to 15 minutes, there was three, maybe four disconnections from Versus. And it wasn't on my end. Like, the entire Versus stream shut the fuck down, and you'd have to refresh until they got it back up again, and then you'd start. Nah, was not about it. And it was just so low energy for me that I was like, fuck this, turned it off, I was done. Versus, I love you and everything that you guys have been doing. Chainz, I love you. Like, I wanted to fucking listen to some tracks from, what was it, Trap for Pretty Girls or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to hear some tracks from that. Yeah, I was looking for, you know, I'm Different. Like, we got hyped the last episode about it. And there was no hype. It was just two super cool guys trying to fucking overcool each other by not doing anything and just looking cool. I fucking was turned off. It wasn't worth it. I hope anybody who watched it, you enjoyed it. That shit was fucking whack. I'm sorry. I didn't like it. And I'm disappointed. Hopefully,
shame on you.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully some of these newer artists can get their shit together, because honestly, these are newer artists. Yeah, they've been around for a while, but when compared to a lot of the other artists that have been matched together in the Versus battle, it's mostly been OGs and like classic staples and like legends. And these guys are, I mean, can be considered a legendary in some light, but they're still fairly new and fresh compared to all the other ones. And I hope that other newer artists that will eventually get paired together, because I know people have been throwing Drake around. They want Drake to battle somebody.
Yeah.
which I would love to see, and I think Drake would deliver a much better fucking performance. Absolutely. And I am by no means a fucking huge Drake fan. If anything, I'm more of a Drake hater than a fan. But I'm a DJ, and I appreciate good music, and I know that he fucking makes bops galore. So it is what it is. I got to give credit where credit is due. And I know that he's going to deliver. But as far as these two guys go, I was so disappointed, man. And honestly, I expected more from Chainz. And Chainz was giving it up a little bit more than Rick Ross. I think the most exciting thing that happened was, like, at one point, Rick Ross had a fucking a costume change, like a wardrobe change. And he changed into, like, this sequence fucking jacket that he probably stole out of Wrong Missy. It was just weird. It was fucking weird, man. But I wasn't about it. Versus, thank you guys for trying to put that together, but those two artists are just fucking low energy. Low fucking energy for me. And your connection issues kind of were just like the nail in the coffin. So I didn't check it out, guys. I hope you enjoyed it. I didn't. And I'm looking forward to the next one. There's been a lot of rumbles of what the next one could be. They have not announced another one yet. But I am looking forward to that. And I actually want to do like a Zoom meeting or some sort of a group online hang where we can all watch and listen together.
That would be fun.
And talk about it while it's happening. Oh, shit. No, I have. Speaking of fucking garbage goddamn pairings, this one took me by surprise. I have to talk about it. Meg and Cardi have a track called WAP. W-A-P, Wet Ass Pussy, and which is ironic because that track is dry as fuck.
Roasted.
Ladies, you are Cardi B and Meg Thee Stallion, arguably positions 1 and 2 on the fucking dopest female MCs in the game right now. I'm sorry, Nicki, fuck off. You're number 3. It is what it is. You ain't been delivering like these bitches. But WAP was not a bop. It really was not. I mean, I don't know. I was just expecting a little bit more. And I heard the song twice. I heard the song first. I watched the video. Might I add, why the fuck is Kylie Jenner walking through the video like she's got a verse on the fucking song? She did exactly what she does in everything else. She showed her face, made no effort, and got fucking paid millions for it. No. No. Guys, I'm sorry. I'm a DJ, okay? I know a super dope banger that's gonna fucking go the fuck off. Like, okay, come on. Hot Girl Summer. Hot Girl Summer goes. It's up tempo. It's fucking yeah. Like, you just want to. Yeah, you a man, you feel like a fucking hot girl, okay?
Yeah.
So I just could, you know what, let's just play. You know what, we're going to do a fucking breakdown of this now.
Ooh.
We are going to do a Cardi B, Meg Thee Stallion lyrical breakdown for Wet Ass Pussy. Now don't get me wrong, I am a cis heterosexual male, and I... Speaking for myself, I'm for the wet ass pussy. Okay, I'm totally for it. But no, no, I wasn't having this. I'm just not for it. All right, here we go. Eight.
I said certified free.
Okay.
7 days a week.
Okay.
Wet ass pussy. Make that pullout game weak.
Okay. So she's a certified freak 7 days a week, which is, you know, honestly, it's understandable. I would expect a certified freak to be doing it 7 days a week. I hope you're getting your proper breaks during that.
Promoting sex before marriage. I can't.
What do you mean? That's the best kind of sex.
Disgusting. I'm just kidding. Continue.
Okay. Sorry. I had to drink some water. Unfortunately, my throat and mouth was not as wet as her pussy. But let's continue.
Can I...
What?
Can I say something real quick? Because I'm actually looking at the lyrics on Rap Genius.
Oh shit. We had to Rap Genius this shit.
I love the Rap Genius annotations. Because when she says that make the pullout game weak, it goes, in the most scientific way possible, Cardi claims that the feeling of having sex with her is so good that it would hinder any man's attempts at pulling out.
If anything, it enhances your pullout game, because if your pussy's really that wet, yo, fucking, yo. It's like you got Criscoed up a motherfucking hallway and threw a cow through that bitch, and it slid all the way down. That is
like this rap genius. Like, you don't have to be so formal.
If anything, that would enhance the pullout game, because it's going to be easier to get the fuck out that thing. Okay?
True.
Just. Okay, anyway, continue. Yeah, you fucking with some wet ass pussy. Okay. Okay, so she has a wet ass pussy. I think we established that, but let's continue.
I believe so.
So have we established yet that her pussy's very wet?
I believe so.
Okay.
Yes.
I just want to make sure. Up, nigga, catch a charge. Extra large and extra hard. Put this pussy right in your face.
Swipe your nose like a credit card. Okay.
Okay. I mean, I'm with it. Even Jay and Silent Bob are with that, you know?
Snoogans.
Snoogans. You grab the clit like that. Oh, you little fuck. And you rub your nose with it. This is what Cardi B is fucking is referencing right now. Okay. On top, I want to ride. I do a kegel. What is inside? Spit in my mouth. Okay, I just want to remind everybody, it's actually a kegel. It's a kegel. Not surprised that Cardi B would mispronounce that. But it is a kegel, not a kegel. Yeah, let's continue. Credit card, hop on top. I want to ride. I do a kegel, what is inside? Spit in my mouth, look at my eyes. This pussy is wet. Wait. I don't think I heard that before. Did she just tell that motherfucker to spit in her mouth?
She has expressed in the past her enthusiasm towards the idea of a man spitting in her mouth on Twitter.
Wait, I didn't hear that before. Oh, you dirty bitch, Cardi. Swipe your nose like a credit card. Hop on top. I want to ride. I do a kegel. What is inside? Spit in my mouth. Look at my eyes. This pussy is wet. Come take a dive. Time. Bars. Bars. Major bars.
Wow.
Spit in her mouth. Bars.
There you go.
Look out. Barbs. Because spitting in her mouth with the bars. Okay. Okay. I think we hit the chorus again. Yep, like I'm surprised. Nope. Let's role play. I wear disguise. I want you to park that big Mack truck right in this little garage. Make it cream, make me scream. I don't public, make a scene. Hey, let's get to Meg. Fuck this. Where's Meg? Get inside of me. There's Meg. Yeah, I got this ring. Gobble me, swallow me, drip down inside of me. Quit, jump out for you. Let it get inside of me. I tell them where to put it. Never tell them where I'm about to be. I run down on them before I have a nigga running me. Help your shit. Bite your lip. Ask for a call while you ride that dick. You really ain't never got him fucking for a thing. He already made his mind up before he came. Now get your boots, hang your coat for this wet ass pussy. He bought a phone just for pictures of this wet ass pussy. Wait, why? Why would you spend all that money for an extra phone only for pictures of that?
You need a side phone. I mean,
you need a burner just to take pictures of Meg Thee Stallion's vagina?
Yeah, man. You need all that space for all those photos.
Motherfucker, upgrade your SD card. What the fuck?
I think this is purely iPhone logic. So we don't have SD cards.
Oh, touche. Oh, poor bastards. Pussy, he bought a phone just for pictures of this wet ass pussy. Uh-huh. My tuition just to kiss me on this wet ass pussy. Ooh. Now make it rain if you want to see some wet ass pussy. Look. I'll make it rain if you want to see some wet ass pussy. Well, wait. So you need there to be perspiration in the air for you to have a wet ass pussy? I thought that shit just did it on its own, Meg.
God. I mean, she is from Texas.
Oh, touche. Touche. It is very humid out there.
It's hard to.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, wet ass pussy, Cardi B featuring Meg Thee Stallion. The video is weird. It's just weird. And I don't know, I'm just not with it. I don't like, again, Kylie Jenner, literally there's like a stop in the song and Kylie Jenner just walks down the goddamn hall, opens up a door, and then it goes into the next scene and the song continues. She doesn't say anything. She doesn't do anything.
There is a petition to remove Kylie Jenner from the WAP video and it has over 50,000 signatures because she's just, it doesn't make sense that she's there.
Okay. Mainstream media, stop trying to push Kylie Jenner on us. We don't fucking care. We don't. Honestly, I care more about this song than I do about Kylie Jenner, and I really don't care about this song. I'm just so sick of seeing Kylie fucking Jenner. She doesn't do anything. She doesn't do anything.
She can drink Pepsi, okay?
At least now I can say Kim Kardashian does do things. She puts up with Kanye West's fucking psychotic ass. That is a sure. job and a half, okay? And has to, and bore his child. Like, that's, ugh. Shout out Kim Kardashian.
Do you have a favorite line from this album or from this song?
I mean, I'm going to have to go with the fucking...
I'm going to go with, I let him taste it, now he diabetic. Switch my wig, make him feel like he cheating. That's wow. another good one.
Wow. Let's you know what? Fuck it. We're going to go... Let's dive deep into these motherfucking lyrics. Second verse. Where is it? Here we go. Verse 3, Cardi B and Meg Thee Stallion. Look, I need a hard hitter. Need a deep stroker. Need a Henny drinker. Need a weed smoker. Isn't that like half the fucking male population?
Yeah, right now? Yeah.
Okay. Not a garden snake. I need a king cobra. With a hook in it. Hope it lean over. Wait. Oh God, why? Cardi.
Pussy A1, just like his credit.
Yeah, he got some money. Then that's where I'm headed. Pussy A1, just like his credit. I mean, I would have gone for the sauce, but whatever. He got a beard. Well, I'm trying to wet it. Let him taste it. Now he diabetic. I don't want to spit. I want to gulp. I want to gag. I want to choke. I want you to touch that little dangly thing that swing in the back of my throat.
I believe she means the uvula.
Oh, that's my favorite lyric right there. Oh, God. I don't want to spit. I want to gulp. I want to gag. I want to choke. I want you to touch that little dangly thing that swing in the back of my throat. My head game is fire. Punani Dasani. It's going in dry and it's coming out soggy. I ride on the thing like cops is behind me. I spit on his mic and now he trying to sign me.
Yeah.
What?
Okay.
Sorry. It's a good song.
Oh my gosh. Guys, this is fucking hilarious. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen, our lyrical breakdown of Wet Ass Pussy by Cardi B and Meg Thee Stallion. Oh. Oh, that's great. That's some good shit. I'm sorry, I have to gather myself. That was just fantastic. Anyways, that's gonna do it for music, ladies and gentlemen. Hey. I mean, if anything, it's admirable that they got straight to the point, ?
Yeah, it's a great frontier in music right now.
Yeah, right? Just tell it like it is. We don't need no double entendres or metaphors. There was metaphors in there. But we don't need you to beat around the bush. Just go straight to talking about the bush. So there you have it. Fucking music. All fucking right. What should we get into next? Let's do it like we did last time. What do we do? TV movies next after that?
I believe so.
I don't have much to talk about, but let's get into it. TV and movies, ladies and gentlemen. There's some things going out that I need to catch up on.
Yeah.
But there is a few things I do want to talk about. You definitely have some stuff to chat about. So I'll go ahead and get started really, really, really quick. I just want to make a note to everybody and let you know that motherfucking Family Matters is on Hulu, my dudes. And yes, I am watching. It isn't just like, I loved that show when I was a kid. Look, let me mention it in the podcast. Nah, the first two episodes. Because Steve Urkel has not come in yet. He has not come in yet. Yeah. Yeah, so Family Matters on motherfucking Hulu, one of my favorite streaming services. Check it out, guys. I don't know how much Family Matters you watched, Danny. That was definitely not around your time.
I watched when Urkel transformed. I think I caught the latter half of it.
Oh, wasn't it into like Stefan?
Stefan, yeah. Yeah, I remember those episodes for sure. I mean, I haven't watched it all the way through, but I have seen a ton of episodes on Nick at Night. Let's see, we're used to stream. So I like Family Matters a lot. I think it's great.
Nick at fucking Night. Hell yeah. But yeah, guys, Family Matters on Hulu. Excited, stoked to get into that. I love all the old school TV shit, you know. I have not been able to. It was a very, very busy week, so I wasn't able to finish Love on the Spectrum, but it keeps getting better and better. I love that fucking show still. Check it out. Also, still have not caught up on. I already seen it, but I'm watching season one over again of Umbrella Academy, ready to get into season two, but haven't been able to finish that. There was one more thing I did want to mention to people that I just barely found out about today. Excuse me, and I'm very excited. It is a movie or a film called Robin's Wish that is coming out on September 1st. It's a new documentary that explores Robin Williams' battle with brain disease. So this is per The Loop. Came out 2 days ago, I believe. Yes. So The Loop writes, it has been almost 6 years since the world lost comedic genius Robin Williams. The Oscar, Emmy, Golden Globe, SAG, and Grammy winner died by suicide on August 11th, 2014. Rest in peace to Robin Williams. Leaving behind his wife, Susan Schneider Williams, his children, Zach, Zelda, and Cody Williams, and millions of fans around the world. Sorry. In a new documentary, his final days are explored by those closest to him, and details on a neurological disorder that plagued the entertainer are revealed. So the first trailer for Robin's Wish has been released ahead of its September 1st premiere on VOD, VOD, and includes interviews with Williams' friends and family, as well as old footage of the actor himself. In the new doc, director Tyler Norwood, who's responsible for the United States of Detroit, interviews director Sean Levy, who worked with Williams on all three Night at the Museum movies, including the final installment, which was filmed only 2 years before Williams' passing. Jeez. My throat is being stupid. So yeah, we're getting a new documentary on Robin Williams, basically about his final days and the neurological disorder that he was dealing with, or neurological disease. No, it's a disorder. So yeah, I'm really excited for that because, I mean, we miss him so fucking much. He was such an amazing actor and person, just a phenomenal person. And I recently actually got into watching videos of him, the one where he met Coco, the gorilla. It was so great. And he was just, you know, he was a phenomenal actor, and we miss him, and I'm really excited to see this, honestly.
I'm kind of shocked because you said 6 years, and it felt like it just happened.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so that's kind of mind-boggling to me, like how fast things have been going. But even when it was announced that he'd passed, like, it was super quick. Like, it was like Robin Williams has passed away, and then I don't think I heard anything else after that. We didn't really get a lot from it.
Uh-huh.
So maybe this documentary will kind of show what was going on, or like just give us kind of more closure, because, you know, he was a great actor. Mm-hmm. He's been in a lot of amazing movies. Freaking Hook is an amazing movie with him, and yes. He's made so many good things. I mean, he's freaking genie, of course, but so I definitely want to watch it when it comes out.
Yes, Robin Williams, rest in peace, we miss you, and Make sure you guys look out for that on VOD, VOD. That is a new documentary called Robin's Wish, September 1st. And applause for the legend, the god. Ah, no, fuck you. There you go. Stupid soundboard. Don't you dare stop my applause for the god. That's why we're doing it twice, bitch.
Yeah.
Put some respect on Robin Williams' name. Love that motherfucker. Miss him, man. Fuck. But that's really all I have for TV and movies. what you been checking out, my guy? What's up?
A ton. I've been watching a ton.
Ooh.
When it comes to stuff I already talked about, I finally finished the Frieza saga when Dragon Ball Z. So that's been pretty exciting. I'm almost done with the Garlic Jr. saga, which is the shortest one, I'm pretty sure. And then, of course, comes the Android saga, which will be super exciting.
Hell yeah.
So I'm doing that. Still watching The God of High School. It's getting just crazy, crazy good. When it comes to new stuff, I have been checking out a bunch of new movies with Alicia. We watched The Secret Garden. They remade that movie. And if you haven't, it's a really good book. And they actually made The Secret Garden like years ago. Like, I think it was like 2005. But it just has to do with like this really privileged girl who has to, her parents die. She moves to her uncle's house with her sick cousin, and they find the secret garden, and it has like a lot of secrets and it has a lot of history to it. And it kind of just focuses on that. Really wow. Fun movie for families. Really, it's a family movie, you know. It's like one of those Disney movies, but it's not made by Disney.
Yeah.
I also checked out An American Pickle, which is the Seth Rogen movie where he plays like an immigrant worker and that works at a pickle factory, and he like drops. This is like old, like I think it's like 1920s, and he falls into a pickle brine, and he gets sealed away for 100 years and he's perfectly preserved. So he comes back to modern day.
what the
he comes
fuck?
Back to modern day life where he has like a living relative that's like his great grandson, and they're the same age. So it's like Seth Rogen plays, he did the whole Adam Sandler thing where he plays two different characters, but he did a hilarious job and it's so funny. I definitely recommend people try it out, check it out. I know it's on HBO Max. This is their first like movie, like their first original movie on the platform, but it's so funny, and I loved every second. I was laughing the entire time. Other than that, that's what Alicia and I watched yesterday. And then I watched The Tax Collector today, which has already gotten a lot of flack for what it is because of Shia LaBeouf. People thought he was going to be playing like a Hispanic, but he's just a white person who lives in a Hispanic community.
Oh, okay.
So it kind of makes sense, you know, because I mean, like, we've seen those people who are like, yeah, you're white, but like, you grow up in a certain community, you're gonna be acting like them, you know.
Yeah.
So man, I don't know. David Ayer is the director. He did Suicide Squad, but he did End of Watch as well. That's a really good movie. It's more on the End of Watch side. It's instead of focusing on cops, it focuses on two like gangsters who are tax collectors for like the biggest kingpin in LA.
Okay.
Man, I don't know. I love it. I like the movie. I thought it was really good. I thought it was really kind of like that gangster action crime movie that you want. But at the same time, it's just like there's a lot wrong with it. There's a lot that needed more, like Shia LaBeouf should probably have more screen time, maybe because I like him too much or something. But
okay.
But like, I don't know. I thought that there should have been like more character development in it, and like the story should have been better. But I mean, you know, it's kind of a toss up because it's really good, but at the same time, it's pretty bad. It's getting destroyed right now on Rotten Tomatoes. But I enjoyed it. I thought it was pretty cool. So I like crime movies. So I thought it was cool, but those were all the newest movies I watched. And then when it came to shows, I've been watching one new show, and that's Star Trek Lower Decks. It's an animated show on CBS All Access, and Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's like Star Trek, but it's more adult cartoonish. It's supposed to appeal to, like, you know, like younger adults or whatever. I thought the first episode was pretty funny. I thought it was cool. I've never been into Star Trek, but I thought I'd give this a try. And so far, I'm going to give the second episode a try. I thought it was really nice. So, yeah, check it out. It's an adult animation by CBS. You don't have to like Star Trek to get into it, but I think it's pretty cool. But that's it.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, a lot of stuff I've been watching.
Oh, yeah? Fuck yeah. Oh, wait, hold on. I also wanted to mention something very, very quickly. Because it just popped in my mind. Fuck you, mouse. It just popped into my head. And, yeah. Okay. So for those of you, ooh, sorry. My fucking throat is all of a sudden being all phlegmy and shit.
Yeah, welcome to our family.
Oh, touche.
You know.
Wah, wah,
you know the fucking vibes. I wake up every morning like that. It's terrible.
Yeah, it does suck. Ladies and gentlemen, for those of you who don't know, there was an announcement made recently by the amazing Bryan Cranston. For those of you who don't know, Bryan Cranston was in Breaking Bad. From what I hear, it was recently voted on Twitter as the best show of the decade. So let's get
rightfully
into,
so.
Yeah, yeah. Everybody
rightfully so.
I need to watch it all, but that's what everybody says, and I believe them. But supposedly, according to Bryan Cranston, there is going to be a Malcolm in the Middle reunion.
Oh.
And apparently they already did it. There was a Malcolm in the Middle reunion. It already happened. It happened yesterday. So, according to this, though, because I'm not seeing anything, all I see is a bunch of videos on him announcing that there will be a reunion and that it's happening on Zoom. But that's it. I don't see any videos on, like, what happened or, like, what, you know, what they talked about. Yeah, no, there's nothing. All it says. Oh, hold on. Oh, no, that's wrong. This is all outdated. That sucks. I wanted to report on this. I thought it was going to happen soon, but supposedly it already happened. That sucks. I quite enjoyed Malcolm in the Middle. I didn't watch as much as I should have, but when it was on, I fucking watched the hell out of it. Did you ever watch Malcolm in the Middle, Danny?
A little bit. I just remember Frankie Muniz getting in my face and going, "You know what sucks about being a kid?" And then that was all of Malcolm in the Middle for me. And then what's funny is I didn't even process that Bryan Cranston was the dad in Malcolm in the Middle. I've always, mm-hmm. It's weird how much, like, I've always processed him as, you know, Walter White before dad in Malcolm in the Middle. And then people were like, yeah, he was the dad in Malcolm in the Middle. How can you not think of him as that? And it's just like, I don't know. It just never processed in my brain. But yeah, I watched a little Malcolm in the Middle, not too much. But yeah, I remember it dearly. I remember what's his face going to the army. It's one of those things where I just watched something as a kid and I don't even remember it until years later. You know what I just discovered? I re-remembered is Underdog. Do you remember Underdog?
The cartoon?
The cartoon. You remember Underdog?
I think so.
I've been watching so much Underdog. It's, Yeah, I don't know. I just was like, oh, dude, Underdog. I remember this. It's like, have no fear. Underdog is here. Like that always sticks in my mind. And I've been rediscovering so many things. Like I'm rewatching Space Ghost Coast to Coast again. And oh God, what was that show? Damn, I had it. Oh, Robot Chicken.
Okay.
Home movies. is always like in the background because I love watching stuff that I used to watch as a kid. And yeah, so that's a tangent. That was a tangent. I'm sorry. I apologize.
It's okay. You're forgiven.
Yeah. Old cartoons and old shows were the shit. So
fuck yeah. Well, supposedly Malcolm did. I guess it happened. I'm looking it up on Twitter, and a lot of the people who are talking about it are all from Spanish-speaking countries, obviously, because it's mainly just stuff in Spanish. But they did have a Malcolm in the Middle virtual reunion, and damn it, I had some stuff here basically on why they were doing it. A lot of these reunions that they've been doing over Zoom, whether it just be like a regular reunion where they're just talking and hanging out and talking about the show and delivering behind the scenes little tidbits and whatnot. There's been like table reads. A community did a table read. I guess it was a table read. It's looking like they did do a table read after all. So it was for. Yeah, it was a virtual reunion show raising funds for free dental care and vision care for those in need. Their silver sponsor was Hulu. It was with RW Quarantunes and Malcolm in the Middle. And yeah, it was on Zoom. They did it for a good cause. And it was great to see it. Like I said, other people have been doing it, community. They recently had the Scott Pilgrim table read. They did the whole movie, to my knowledge. And then there's like shows just doing full on like episodes or extra like specials, which was the Parks and Rec special that they did at the beginning of the quarantine was also for charity, but that was like not a table read. It wasn't a reunion. Well, it was a reunion basically, but it was like another episode of the show, which was great. So it's happy to see all these. I mean, I would love to see more. I don't even know what else I would want to see. I don't even want to get into like thinking about like, oh, what would we like to see happen with this shit? You know? No? Yes? Danny, are you still there? Oh, did my internet connection kick out? I think we lost Danny. Danny! No.
Yeah, it's really cool to see this. I know that it's because of the circumstances of like COVID and stuff, but like the Lord of the Rings table read was really fun to watch.
Wait, what the fuck? Really, they had a Lord of the Rings table read?
Yeah, you didn't know this?
But why didn't I know about this?
Ton. It's called One Zoom to Rule Them All. And yeah, it's like this big reunion with everybody. It's really cool. And yeah, it happened on June 1st. It was great.
Damn it. Now I got to go back and watch that.
Yeah, you should definitely check it out. It's really cool.
Man. Okay. Well, shit, I missed that, but I'll go watch it. But yeah, this is all very dope. Thank you to everybody who's been putting these together. Oh, God damn it. Oh. So I'll have to go. Hopefully there's a video somewhere. It doesn't look like there's much info on the table read for this Malcolm in the Middle reunion, but I'd like to check it out. But yeah, that was that. And I hope it was dope. I hope it was fantastic. Moving on. Let's move on to what's going on in the world, shall we? Yes. Yeah, so we're, of course, I have to, of course, make a mention of this. Sorry, I'm trying to gather myself. So, as we all know, unless you're in our fucking rock, and this was a fucking huge deal. I was working when I found out about this, but Beirut, Lebanon was fucking rocked. By an insanely huge explosion. It was insane to watch, honestly. And especially with everything going on, and it hasn't gotten any easier. This happened. Oh, shit. I have to go sifting through some fucking bullshit. God damn these fucking articles. Why don't they just lay it out like I want them to? Sorry, I'm so sorry, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm sorry to the people of Beirut for me not having this together yet. So yes. Fuck, this stupid article doesn't give me what I want. So there was an explosion that rocked Beirut in Lebanon. I apologize. It was really, really, really fucking bad. It left 158 people dead. Rest in peace to all of those people. 6,000 injured, 300,000 homeless. It happened in a warehouse where there was some ammonium nitrate in a very, very large quantity. It had basically ignited. And according to this article, had been there and left at the port warehouse for 6 years. People had warned against it, and nothing was done for 6 years. Well, that ammonium nitrate finally went up, and now it is responsible for the death of 158 people. That could change. 6,000 injured, 300,000 homeless. It's terrible. It was bad. I was seeing maps of, like, the radius of the blast, like, how far out windows were blown out, and it's just crazy. It's fucking insane. So yeah. Sorry to the people of Lebanon and for having to deal with this. It's gotten even worse. According to this article done by BBC News, they did an online donor summit that was arranged by France, which collected as much money as they could to help the people of Beirut. And also to try to call for some changes to be made, like some reform. It says the blast at a warehouse holding over 2,000 tons of ammonium nitrate has focused local outrage on perceived government corruption and incompetence. Since that, clashes have broken out for a second day running in Beirut. Young people calling for government to quit, for the government to quit, threw projectiles at police and shops in central Beirut. And protesters attempted to storm barricades barring access to the parliament building. A fire broke out at the scene. Police and riot gear used tear gas as darkness fell, echoing similar scenes during protests on Saturday. 15 government leaders at the donor summit, spearheaded by French President Emmanuel Macron, promised major resources, according to a statement. Assistance should be timely, sufficient, and consistent with the needs of the Lebanese people, it said, adding that people must be directly delivered to the Lebanese population with... adding that help must be directly delivered to the Lebanese population with utmost efficiency and transparency. The donors were prepared to help Lebanon's longer-term recovery if the government listened to the changes demanded by the country's citizens, the Communique said. President Macron's office said France had received pledges worth... 252.7 million euros. Wow. The summit. Officials estimate the explosion caused up to $15 billion of damage. Wow. It was really sad to see. Very scary, because, like, there were so many cameras. Like, it took some time before that giant explosion happened. Enough time for so many different people to fucking record, and it is just fucking terrifying to see. Because just the way that it went down, like the explosion itself, people, I'm sure right off the bat, were just like, holy fuck, they were attacked. But like a nuclear bomb or something. It was so scary, and it's just sad to fucking see. Like
the radius was large.
It really was.
It's kind of it's terrible that it happened. And I don't like looking at the videos. I hate looking at videos like this, like the perspectives and stuff. And
oh yeah.
But what's more terrifying is the response from the Lebanese government and how they're dealing with protests. And this is like a whole thing on its own, because not only did this Beirut just get completely demolished, that city is gone. Like people are homeless. Of course they're going to protest. People have died. And the Lebanese government has done nothing but antagonize protesters, force trying to disperse them as best as they can. And now it's kind of showing, it's kind of showing the cracks in the system, right? So like even the United States urging like the Lebanese government, like, hey, let them protest peacefully. They like, this is their right. Like, and we're seeing a lot of countries step in with funding and aiding, like the people of Beirut, to, you know, with like South Korea giving, like, I think it was like $1 million they gave to the emergency fund. And yeah. But we're seeing like this government like oppress their people. And so now it's like, whoa, let these people protest. Like, they're angry. And so now the Lebanese authorities are being like accused of using this like terrible force. And so we're seeing a lot of bad. I mean, we're seeing a ton of good, don't get me wrong. Like, we're seeing like different countries, like, we hoped step in and help with the relief effort. But at the same time, we're seeing like the Lebanese government, we're seeing their ugly side. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's kind of terrible to see.
Prayers, blessings, vibes, and condolences to everybody affected. I know I have friends here in the States that have family and friends over there in Lebanon. It's not pretty right now. And honestly, I want to give a nice little fuck you to the United States government, because y'all motherfuckers should practice what you preach. Our government is always guilty of telling other countries to let their people do something while they're not letting their people do what they're preaching about. So,
oh yeah.
And that's what we're dealing with too, with all these protests over here. But it's not even on that level. Like, we were not rocked by a fucking giant blast in a fucking port warehouse like that. And to see like something like that happen and the government's still gonna do what they do, it shows priority, it shows what they care about, and it's heart wrenching, it's gut wrenching, it's heartbreaking, and it sucks. Mm-hmm. We hope that you all can recover as quickly as possible, and it sucks that it just goes to show you that even with a giant pandemic going around or this large or a large problem that hurts the world, different portions of the world do not stop going through what the fuck they're going through. If anything, it just adds shit onto their plate, and it just sucks. It fucking sucks.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, prayers, blessings, condolences, vibes, all of that to the people of Lebanon and Beirut, Lebanon, and all of Lebanon. And we hope that recovery can be as smooth and as painless as possible. So... yeah, it sucks to hear all that. Mm-hmm. Shit, the news is, of course, always on fire. It's always going off, people. There's always something going on. Coming back into our country and its fucking fuckery, let's talk about, of course, TikTok. TikTok, of course, was in the news because people... I've been freaking out about it. Of course, it is a Chinese-based company, and they are giving away people's information and stuff like that, gathering information on your kids and what have you. Trump threatened to ban them. Well, TikTok answered back, and they plan to sue the Trump administration over the ban as soon as this coming Tuesday, ladies and gentlemen. Per this article by NPR, TikTok is planning to sue the Trump administration, challenging the president's executive order banning the service from the United States. The video sharing app, hugely popular with the smartphone generation, will file the federal lawsuit as soon as Tuesday, according to a person who was directly involved in the forthcoming suit but was not authorized to speak for the company. It will be filed in a U.S. District Court for the Southern District of California, where TikTok's American operations are based, the person said. So they are going to argue that President Trump's far-reaching action is unconstitutional because it failed to give the company a chance to respond. It also alleges that the administration's national security justification for the order is baseless, according to the source. It's based on pure speculation and conjecture, the source said. The order has no findings of fact, just reiterates rhetoric about China that has been kicking around. Well, the answer back from TikTok, ladies and gentlemen. It's kind of hard to see where this goes. This is going into federal court, basically. Or into court in general. And it's crazy to see this much hoopla over TikTok, of all things. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't use TikTok. I don't really pay much attention to TikTok. Of course, TikTok videos will come up in my feed on Instagram, but I'm not big into the TikTok. It's mainly a nuisance and annoying to me. But
one of the biggest things that this kind of foretells, especially if this goes through, if TikTok gets banned, TikTok isn't the only one that's getting banned, right? WeChat is also in this kind of list of things that are getting banned due to a national security or like national breach. And I mean, it's kind of a big umbrella because, for example, WeChat is owned by Tencent. Everyone should know who Tencent is. They literally own everything. But banning WeChat could lead to stuff like League of Legends, the game. We can see a lot of bans of League of Legends getting banned for the same reason. That Tencent owns a large majority of that. Even though Riot Games is in the United States, for the most part, Tencent owns League of Legends. Like, we could see bans going from League of Legends to Spotify to all these different apps and online services that people use. Like, MMOs are a perfect example. You know, you'd see MMOs slashed by 90%. The only MMO that you could probably play is an indie game MMO that came out like a year ago. Because World of Warcraft is also really based in China. Like, it's kind of scary to see this because this not only concerns like, oh, TikTok's going to get banned. That's so funny. Like, no, this is a lot. This is bigger than that. You know, you're talking about banning these gigantic companies that have been around for a long time that could ban stuff. The entire gaming industry could crumble. Like, that's terrifying. It goes a lot more than just TikTok and WeChat. It goes to a lot of stuff. And it could be a new era, honestly, like a scary era. Like, how do you think people would feel if Fortnite got banned? Tencent owns 40% of Fortnite. So, like, what are you going to do? You know, is Trump going to go after Trump's done with TikTok and WeChat? Is he going to go after, you know, anything owned by Tencent? Like, because that's a Chinese industry or a Chinese companies. Like, is he going to go after gaming? Is he going to start banning everything that has to do with gaming? Like, yeah, it's a big deal.
It is.
So yeah, there's a lot to unpack when it comes to that, but that's pretty much the gist of it.
Yeah, and it's basically, according to this article, TikTok officials see the executive order as essentially a pressure campaign. Of course, there is a lot of anti-China rhetoric behind this, and the TikTok officials basically are saying that it's a way of forcing an American company to move quickly to acquire the app's U.S. assets. And it's funny they say that because, I guess, Microsoft is in talks to buy TikTok, but the discussions are in the early stages. So there's that. And it's like one of those things where, which is funny because if Microsoft were to purchase TikTok and it became an American-based company, would people then stop freaking out? Because then that takes away from the issue that people are fucking bitching about, which is it's collecting your children's data and collecting all this shit and selling it off or giving it off. If Microsoft buys it, that doesn't necessarily stop. So what's really the issue here? You know? I don't know. It's crazy. It's insane that we've gotten this far, especially with how ingrained in society TikTok already is and now this is happening. People are gonna fucking lose their minds.
I'm not gonna try and be dystopian about it, but we're kind of like, Microsoft was in talks of buying the TikTok American division, like making their own kind of tunnel that would quote unquote protect the American people's data is pretty much what they wanted to do. And we're already seeing people on both sides, like whatever Republican or Democrat, we're already seeing people go, no. Then we have a big company controlling like data. So Alicia and I kind of joked to Alicia about this, but I was like, I laughed when they said that, you know, China was trying to get our information. I was like, oh, because they only want themselves to get our information because, you know, Facebook and everyone else collects our data all the time.
Yeah.
And where do you think it gets sent to? You know, it gets sent to the United States. Like, the United States has that information. Like, so it is this kind of like, if anyone's going to get the Americans like data and information, it's going to be me, you know. But if Microsoft makes, like, buys TikTok in the United States, you're talking about this massive company. How much is Microsoft going to buy to, quote unquote, protect everyone's, to protect the American people's data?
Totally.
So, like, are they going to just start buying everything and they're going to start, you know, collecting the data themselves? Like, it's kind of like this weird, like, cyberpunk kind of vibe where we have this big corporation, because Microsoft is big already.
Oh, yeah.
You know, controls everything. And it's just kind of weird. Like, I kind of see that with SpaceX. You know, like, these private companies, we don't need NASA anymore. We have SpaceX doing all of the launches and like high-tech stuff. Like, we're gonna see private companies rise up and handle this data, and yeah, it's gonna be weird. But yeah, so
it's been so funny also to see, like, the things going on with SpaceX, not even SpaceX, Elon Musk. Like, everybody was just like, yes, this guy is changing the world in the future, and we're going to be, and he starts talking some crazy shit, and people are like, whoa, wait, what? wait, Elon, what the fuck's going on? And he's just like, nah, man, fuck all you, and da-da-da-da-da, like, no, Elon, no.
Dank memes, you know, trying to fit in. But I want to give a little tidbit, one more thing about the whole Tencent thing, because Tencent's a big company. So if we're talking about the ban of WeChat and TikTok, right? So Tencent owns 100% of Riot Games. These are the people who make League of Legends. Okay. Tencent is the largest owner in Fortnite and the Unreal Engine. We're talking about Epic Games now. Okay. They own 80% of Supercell, who are responsible for mobile games like Clash of Clans and stuff like that. They publish PUBG. They have digital stakes in Blizzard, Ubisoft, and Platinum Games. All right. They have a production company and distributor called Tencent Pictures that are responsible for Wonder Woman, Venom, Terminator Dark Fate, and Top Gun, because there's a new Top Gun movie coming out, by the way. They just struck a $1.5 billion five-year deal with the NBA. Snapchat owner Snap sold a 12% stake to Tencent. Okay. And Tencent bought a 10% stake in UMG, Universal Music Group, and Tencent has a 9% stake in Spotify. That's all they own.
Okay. Wow.
So if we start banning everything that Tencent does, we're not going to have a goddamn thing. We're going to have Apple Music. Ugh, disgusting.
Oh, yeah, that'd be terrible. I'm offing myself at that point. I'm done. You dare take your Spotify away from me? I gotta listen to Apple. I'd rather kill myself. Ugh. Yeah, right? It just makes you feel disgusting. I fucking hate Apple. Ugh. Apple. That's right. Oh, man. But yeah.
You telling me I can't watch a 6th Terminator movie? Are you out of your mind?
Oh, shit. Well, that's what's going on with TikTok in the Donald Trump administration, ladies and gentlemen. Woo-hoo. Let's move the fuck on, shall we?
My hero.
Well, there was some drama and chaos going on in Calabasas, ladies and gentlemen. The infamous Jake Paul's crib was raided by the FBI. My hero. There's two different entities that I don't like at all. I fucking dislike Jake Paul, and I definitely dislike the fucking FBI. Or federal agents in general, just the federal government. Go fuck yourselves, guys. Anyway. So. This is per TMZ. They give you a timeline, which is fucking annoying. Why don't you just report like normal fucking people? Anyways. So let's see this. So his house was raided as well as another person's house in Vegas. So let's see what this is. Whatever. Let's just read the timeline. Let's see. The update, 3:06 p.m. Pacific time. It appears almost certain Wednesday's raids in Calabasas and Vegas, because they raided Armani Izadi's, I guess, I don't know who that is, a mansion in Vegas. It appears almost certain Wednesday's raids in Calabasas and Vegas have to do with Jake Scottsdale arrest. Armani Izadi, a longtime collaborator and former friend of Jake's, owns the Vegas home that was raided by the FBI. Izadi was also arrested with Jake in Scottsdale. For those of you who don't recall, Jake Paul got into some hot water because he was out there looting in Scottsdale, Arizona, during the protests and looting and riots and shit. He was seen on film. Let's see. The FBI just played its hand partially and revealed the raid is somehow in connection with Jake getting arrested in Scottsdale, blah, blah, blah. During a George Floyd protest, the FBI tells TMZ the FBI is investigating allegations of criminal acts surrounding the incident in Scottsdale's Fashion Square in May 2020. Jake was in the mall and arrested for trespass, was charged with criminal misdemeanor, but the city attorney has dropped the case. It appears at the behest of the FBI, and more serious investigation has taken precedence. Okay, so the local police department dropped their case against him, and basically because the FBI has a more serious investigation. It appears that they seized weapons from Jake Paul's Calabasas home, firearms specifically, this based on aerial footage of the scene from ABC 7. Law enforcement officials were spotted walking down Jake's driveway with what appeared to be rifles and perhaps shotguns in hand, two per person from what they could see. A second raid happened nearly 300 miles away from that one that was just executed at Jake's Calabasas home in Sin City, no less, and a house that was connected, yada, yada, yada. Some people were taken into custody. Jake Paul was not. They had a search warrant. It was not illegal. They definitely did have a warrant for it. And they came with apparently like a small militia. Like there was a ton of agents in tow. And yeah, they raided Jake Paul's mansion in Calabasas. We'll see what comes of it. I could give a fuck what bad things come to that guy, because fuck him. Jake Paul is a fucking he's a parasite. I personally feel like Jake Paul is a fucking plague on this earth. He's one of the more toxic, most annoying, fucking just dumbass YouTubers that should not be famous. He's a piece of shit. And yeah, there's that. So, I mean, it is what it is. Good job, Jake Paul. You're a piece of shit and you're getting what's coming to you. Yeah, fuck you. Fuck you, Jake Paul. Good luck, fucker. Maybe you should have been more like your older brother, because he seems to be getting into less, even though he got into some serious shit, he seems to be getting into less shit than you. So yeah, it is what it is. Fucking A. Well, let's talk about the thing that's also on a lot of people's minds. Now that we're getting halfway through August, we're getting close to September, and of course October is after. But is Halloween canceled, ladies and gentlemen? Quick answer. Yes, the fuck it is.
Yay! Please don't go trick-or-treating.
Don't. So, per the Los Angeles Times, with less than 3 months before the annual celebration of all things ghoulish and creepy, many Halloween festivities have either been canceled or will be dramatically altered out of the fear of the nation's biggest terror, COVID-19.
Whack.
Whack.
It is what it is. I'm not surprised to see this, are you?
No, not with where we're going.
It's not surprising. I mean, and I've seen people talk about it. I've seen people like posting up all this shit about, oh, you guys better get all your shit together because I'll be damned if fucking Halloween gets canceled. It's canceled. This year is canceled, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know how else to fucking tell you this. There's going to be no Halloween. There's going to be no nothing. There's no Black Friday sales. There's no fucking hanging out and raging for the holidays. It's done. Get over it. And some of you have friends that you can blame. Some of you have people that you know that are part of the fucking problem, and it's done. Honestly, I'm going to say don't look forward to the first half of next year either. We're fucked.
Yeah.
Halloween is canceled. It's done. Okay? It is what it is. What do you think, Danny?
Yeah, I'm not participating in anything. I'm still keeping my ass where I need to be. and I'm still wearing my mask, so I don't know what you want me to do. If you come to the door, I'm going to hit you. So don't come to my door, please.
I mean,
this is just how I feel.
Yeah, stay your ass home. How about this? Go buy yourself some candy, and then put a bowl on a table outside of every room of your house, and let the kids walk to each fucking door.
This is the best I can do for you. I can live stream a horror-thon, and you can join us, and we can watch scary movies, and I'll just pelt pieces of candy at the webcam like I'm actually throwing it to you. So
guys, Halloween is fucking canceled, get used to it. They did the monster mash. Y'all gonna be doing the monster mash from your motherfucking room. Congratulations, thanks for playing. This is my favorite holiday, by the way.
I love Halloween.
Halloween is my absolute favorite holiday, and we have nobody to blame but our fucking selves.
Yeah.
And can people want a bitch, but fuck you guys.
Can I show you... Can I tell you a meme I just saw?
Oh, please do.
It's not about Halloween or anything. I just saw it, and we just talked about the tax collector.
Okay.
But it says, BuzzFeed just released an article. Shia LaBeouf is using brownface in his latest movie, and there should be outrage. And then it says Chicanos. Hey, even Stevens is down as foo.
Hey.
He's not playing brownface, by the way. He's
totally
still
isn't.
A white boy. They call him Johnny Cash to make fun of him in the movie. So he's, yeah. Anyways, yeah.
People always do. They're trying, and it's mostly, I guarantee you, it's mostly white people that are spearheading that shit.
I mean, come on, it's BuzzFeed.
And like, it was, I mean, I'm not surprised. And it's the same thing. It's the same. You know what the funny thing is, actually, is there was all that drama that came with the whole Robert Downey Jr. doing blackface. And fucking, like, young-ass fucking white kids were like, well, what the fuck? Let's cancel this. And the black community was like, don't you fucking dare touch Robert Downey Jr. We will murder you.
That's they were a great movie.
Nah, he was not. He was, but he wasn't. It was.
Yeah.
You got to look at the context and the character and all that stuff. And I'm glad that there are some people who are like, can we not? Can we please not?
Yeah.
Well, fuck.
But when it comes to Halloween, yeah, canceled. Can't do nothing.
It's done.
Don't do nothing. Don't go to no parties. Don't take your kids out. I care about your kids more than I care about your dumbass. Okay. That's why we're doing distance learning, and we're not because they're nasty. So keep your kids at home, please.
Keep your fucking kids at home. No, they do not need to go to school. Stop being a lazy fuck and watch your goddamn kids. Just because you're pissed that you can't send your kids for 6 hours a day off to school so you can go do fuck all. Fuck you. You decided to have the little bastards. Deal with it.
Unless you're dressing up in hazmat suits for Halloween, I don't want to see you outside.
Yeah, go fuck yourself. Stay home. Watch fucking movies with your kids. Pass out the candy. Distribute the candy evenly. Buy the candy yourself. Distribute it evenly. Happy motherfucking Halloween. Boom.
Woo.
Because you know what's scarier than celebrating Halloween? The thousands upon thousands of people that are dying. How about that?
Yeah.
Fucking morons.
Yeah.
Happy Halloween, bitches. And you know what? I think that's going to do it for the show, actually. I think that's going to do it.
Woo.
Thank you again, guys, for supporting and for listening to the show. Really appreciate you. That's going to do it for episode 41. Again, make sure you're following us on social media. Danny on social media is at TheRealDanko. He's also on Twitch doing his streams, doing some dope streams, twitch.tv/BulldozerDanko. You can also follow me on social media at IMDJBrute. Again, I keep talking about getting back into my streams, but I'm not going to do it, but I'm going to keep saying that I am. So yeah, follow me on Twitch, twitch.tv/IMDJBrute.
Yeah, keep the hype going.
Hey, anticipation. It's all about anticipation. And
he's working on it.
And because of the implication, you know?
Yeah, the implication.
The implication,
no.
Hey.
No.
Yes, go. Make sure you go listen to all that music we were listening to. Highly recommended. It's all dope, especially Victoria Monet. Make sure you guys are staying clean, safe. Wash your hands. Wear your masks, please. And make sure you take a shower, or a person that your significant other or partner takes a shower before you go down on their asshole, as always.
Because of the implication.
the implication. Oh, gosh. And again, please become a Patreon supporter. $5 a month. You help out the show. We give you some swag. We get you included, take into your account, whatnot. Take into your ideas into account. Also, if anybody has anything you'd like us to review, check out, talk about, maybe start a new segment. Maybe there's something in the world you'd like us to focus on and give our two cents on. Fucking let us know. Email us, hit us, add us on fucking social media, what have you. I'm working on getting some more guests back onto the show again. And we'll see where that goes. But again, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to the Chit Show Podcast. Thank you to Danny, my co-host, the man.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Thank you.
You are the dude. The damn Dan dude. I appreciate you. You're the best co-host in the world, man. Also,
you're
make
the best host.
Hey, thank you, bud. Fuck yeah.
What's up?
You know the fucking vibes.
Make sure you guys are also supporting all of the podcasts at our network. That is the We're Working On It Network. Along with the Chit Show Podcast, you have EZXP with Danny, Vaughn, Fish, and Brantley talking anything and everything about video games. Of course, you've got Derek with bonus commentary, getting in-depth with movies, talking to producers, people involved with movies, and his friends and whatnot. Really great show. And of course, the motherfucking Untitled Mixtape with my guys Danny, Lorenzo, and I almost called him by his rapper name, Seventh. Lewis, fuck that. I'm calling him Lewis. Your name's Lewis, okay? How about that?
Wow.
No, I'm just kidding. I love you, Lewis. You're the man.
We'll be doing an exciting episode tomorrow. So.
Oh, really?
So keep, be on the lookout on Thursday.
Fuck yeah, Thursday, new episode from the Untitled Mixtape with Danny, Lorenzo, and Lewis. They talk everything and anything music. It's awesome. You should definitely should check it out. You definitely should go follow them on social media, too. But yeah, that's the damn thing. And that's going to do it for episode 41, people. Hey.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening, ladies and gentlemen. Make sure you're following the show on Facebook and Instagram at Chit Show Podcast. We'll see you next week, Monday. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell every goddamn body. Woo! Deuces.
This is Britney Spears when she was bald, nigga. Punkin' niggas way before they was punk, nigga. Smoking Ashton Kutcher, so I calm down, nigga. We don't wanna hear your mixtape, my nigga. I fade niggas like barbers. I got more pressure.
What's up, fuckers?
You know the fucking vibes.